Hey, friend, I don't know if you know this, but I have a new book coming out on March 5th. It's called Protect Your Peace, 9 Unapologetic Principles to Thrive in a Chaotic World. And I would love your support by pre-ordering my book. Go to TrentShelton.com/book. Why pre-order? Because as an author, it helps me get on more TV shows. The book gets in more stores. And for you, you get a whole bunch of cool free stuff that will go away soon if you don't pre-order. So go pre-order the book. Get the book. This book is going to change the world. Let's get it. What's up, rehabbers across the world? Welcome to Straight Up with Trent Shelton. Throughout my career, from the NFL to sold-out stages speaking to thousands, I built up a toolkit to break through negative mindsets, let go of what's holding you back, and start rehabbing your life. And every show is going to be jam-packed with tips, tricks, and tools to push you forward. I'm always going to be real with you and give you the 100% truth, even when it's going to pierce your heart. This is me, Trent Shelton, straight up. Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to today's episode of Straight Up Podcast. I'm your host, Trent Shelton. Today, I have a very special guest. And you guys know, I don't really do interviews unless I'm super inspired by someone. I connected with someone. So this has like been back-to-back interviews because, you know, I just want to highlight good servant heart people that are doing great works in the world. And I'm sure you know my next guest. She needs no introduction, but Jamie Kern Lima is here. We're going to talk about her new book, Believe It. What up, Jamie? How you doing?
Trent, thank you so much. So grateful to be here. Can't wait.
Thank you. How are you feeling? I mean, your book has been out for what? It's Wednesday. So for over a week, number one bestsellers all over the place. Like, how does it feel to have your story, everything you've been through, giving it to the world, and, you know, people are getting impacted by it? How does that feel?
Yeah, I think, you know, you talk about this a lot too, but it's like when we're doing something where we just pour it all out and we know it's not about us, we know it's literally, hopefully about something bigger than ourselves. It feels really good. And, you know, just on the whole idea, straight up, this was doing this book. I realized, Trent, when you Google my story, right, you see like, oh, Denny's waitress builds $1 billion company. And what was happening for years is I would get DMs on Instagram. I would get all these messages from people saying like, oh, did you just have this fairy tale thing? Or did you get lucky? Or did you have connections? And, you know, congratulations. But then they would share with them, they would say, well, for me, I'm kind of like struggling, or I'm not, you know, I have this idea, but I'm getting no traction, or I got rejected and I'm embarrassed about it. And I kind of realized that, like, oh, if we don't ever really like pull back the curtain, which is what you do all the time, I love it so much. But if we don't ever really like share the real stuff, like the real stories behind the stories, then everyone else feels alone when they're going through the season of setback or the rejection or the not enoughness. And so this book was really from a place of, oh, let me just really share all the times that I did this wrong or made this mistake or had this happen to me or had someone tell me no, or you're not enough or you're not the right fit. And let me share the times I handled it in ways that were good and the times I totally didn't, and how, like the real journey of how I started this dream in my living room and built it to a huge company, over 1,000 employees, all that. But this is like the real stuff that I'm embarrassed about, that I wish I had known sooner, personally and professionally. So I feel it's very, for me, straight up.
And I love it.
But I'm excited.
And I love it. And that's what I love about your spirit. You know, we've connected in Puerto Rico and had conversations, and you become a dear friend. That's what I love about your spirit, because, you know, it reminds me of growing up in the church. You know, I would have the pastors that were just great pastors, were perfect, but I couldn't relate. I'm like, there's no way I could live like that ever in my life, because they never shared, or some of them never shared just their own struggles, what they're going through, how they're dealing with it. And then my father's a pastor. My father shares everything. But I start to take to more speakers and authors and pastors that would open up and just be straight up and say, listen, like, I still deal with things. I've been through things. These are the hard things that I've been through, but this is how I got through it. And as much as we want perfection, we can't relate to perfection, right? We can relate to progression. And that's what you share, and that's what you're about. And I love that. And I want to ask you a question. This is a off-the-wall question. I don't know if you've ever been asked this, but I was in Seattle a few years ago, I was around a group of kids, and it was kids that were dealing with recovery from drugs. I mean, 13, 14 year old kids. And we sat in this circle, and it changed my life. And I won't say played a game, but we did this thing where we said, if you really knew me, and we all shared something about ourselves, and these kids were sharing things. And I, like, when it got to me, it really taught me how to be transparent. People say, Trent, how are you so transparent? It was really that moment that says, man, I need to be more open and more transparent. So it could be something funny, it could be something silly, it could be whatever you want it to be. But if people really knew you, and I know everybody, you're super open, so a lot of people know you, but if people really knew you, who would they see?
They'd see someone who prays God use me every single day. Someone who really spent most of my life not believing in myself and the last few years really learning how to. And, you know, someone who is a real work in progress in so many areas, a real work in progress, learning really to listen to the calling God's put on my heart and to learn to trust it. Someone also, and maybe some of your community will relate to this, but like my whole life, I was someone who I thought, oh, I'm independent. Like, I don't need anyone else to show up for me. Like, I got this. Like, I don't want to count on anyone else. I was always a lone wolf. Yeah. I always thought I didn't even want to get married. My husband's probably going to hear this, be like, what? I didn't want to get married. I was like, I don't need a man. Like, I was always this lone wolf, right?
Where do you think that came from? I'm just curious.
So here's where I realized it came from. Because Trent, I used to think it was a badge of honor. Like, I prided myself in, like, I'm independent, you know, all that stuff. I realized for me, it came from a deep, and I realized this, by the way, through this 10-year journey of infertility, through not being able to carry a pregnancy, all of the stuff that I went through, and then looking into adoption and surrogacy and eventually having our daughter Wonder, on this journey, I realized that, like, for me, saying, oh, I'm a lone wolf, oh, I got this, I don't need anyone else, it wasn't a badge of honor. Like, I learned for me, it actually came from this deep-seated fear that I'm not worthy of other people showing up for me. And when I realized that, and I had this huge kind of like epiphany that, like, oh, wait a minute, life isn't meant to do alone. And like every one of us is worthy of asking someone else to show up for us the way we show up for them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I had to learn, I'm still in the process, by the way, or believing, I should say, that I'm worthy of my friends showing up for me the way I show up for them. I'm worthy of all those things. So, you know, you just did my live event Monday,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Just keeping it really real. I was so nervous to say, hey, Trent, would you like show up for me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I still go to that place of like, oh, I'd rather just show up for everyone else however I can or whatever. And I'm working like daily on overcoming some of that stuff and believing that I'm worthy of other people showing up for. And by the way, thank you for showing up for me.
Oh, no.
You blessed a whole lot of people that day.
No problem.
You blessed a whole lot of people.
And that's a big thing that stood out about you to me is your faith. And I'm going to pick up your book right now because it's a chapter that you have in your book. I was reading it and it really stuck with me. And it's a reflection of who you are. And you speak openly about your faith. And that's something I do want to talk about because I know when we're in the industry, I know when I was, you know, on my book, you know, going to pitch my book to publishers and outside the Christian publishers, they were like, hey, you can't talk about God. And I was like, well, I guess you're not my publisher. So I have to find somebody else. So I know how hard that can be in a space, but you openly speak about that. So I do want to talk about that. But chapter 17, you say, believe in a power that's greater than you. And it says, self-made ? I'm partly self-made, but I'm mostly God-made. How much has faith played a part in your life and continue to play a part in your life?
Yeah. I love that you called that out. I had a similar experience, by the way. Sometimes when we want to show up fully authentically, and for some of us, that means our faith, like people don't want to hear it. And I am chapter 17 that you're talking about. I even had an experience in the journey of the book where not everyone wanted that chapter to stay in there, but I have learned this time and time again in life that like authenticity alone doesn't guarantee success, but inauthenticity guarantees failure. And I'm like, if I'm going to do this book, it's going to be fully authentic. Like, and it may not be for everyone, but it's going to be the real story. Right. And that idea of self-made, I mean, I have t-shirts that say self-made. I think it makes me feel total badass. Like, I love that word, but at the end of the day, I'm only part, and I believe this about every one of us. I for me, and even like when the big Forbes thing came out and all the self-made women's lists and all that stuff, like what I know to be true is I am only partly self-made.
Gotcha.
I'm mostly God-made. Like I showed up, made the commitment to work harder than I ever thought possible and stayed in faith, but God did everything else, the open doors, the closed doors, the serendipitous connections, the grace beyond comprehension. I believe my connection with you is a serendipitous connection.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I believe that and I stay in faith over that. And yeah, I share the journey in the book that honestly, I am worried, right? The book just came out this week and I am worried about how some of my family is going to handle it and all that because, you know, I know you're super open about with your dad being a pastor and everything else. For me, you know, I was raised going to church every Sunday. And I talk about this in the book, how literally nothing the pastor ever said, it never really resonated with me. I would spend all of church, like scanning the pews for cute boys, counting down the minutes till the sermon was done. Like I did not connect. And as I got older and older and started traveling more and meeting people of different faiths, people of no faith, people that have, you know, just believe purely that only in science, right? For what you can see and touch and feel, for which faith is not required. And I went through a big season of God doubt in my life. So my book, I talk about like how I overcame self-doubt and body doubt, but I talk a lot about God doubt. And I just think in case someone else is going through it, I wanted to go there because I went through a season where I started just wondering, and this was many years, wondering like, and I would pray, I'd be praying, you know, for a friend's health or, but then I would have this feeling like, is God even real? And I went through this season and, you know, Trent, I was raised in families. I have multiple families. I learned I was adopted by surprise in my late 20s. And so I have like five families now, but I was raised in families that never went to therapy. And I went through this tough season in my 20s where I went through some depression and started having panic attacks. And so on my own, I started seeing a therapist. I had the blessing of being able to do that. I was waitressing at Denny's and I eventually worked in TV news. And I was just struggling, wondering where I came from because I had found out I was adopted. And then also like, does God exist? And a therapist, I talk about this in the book, a therapist said something to me about faith that changed my life forever. So just to share it in case anyone needs to hear it today, I was telling her like, you know, yeah, I'm, you know, doubting God exists, all these things. And she said to me, and I don't even know if she has any faith, by the way, but she said to me, well, what makes you think God can't handle your doubt? And I'm like, what do you mean? And she said, if you think he created the whole universe, what makes you think he can't handle your doubt? She goes, why don't you try telling him you doubt him and ask him to prove you wrong? Mm. And I was like, huh. And it started this like multi-year thing where, and it did not happen overnight, but what I would do is like, if I was praying for a friend or whatever I was praying about, at the end of my prayer, this is going to sound so elementary, Trent, but you know what? I'll keep it real with you. I would literally end a prayer. And in my own head, I would be like, and by the way, God, I'm doubting you exist. So if you could please show up and prove me wrong, I'd be super grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Like that would be how I would end my prayer. And I share and believe it how like so many things happened that literally all but, and this took years. This wasn't like the next day, but things started happening. People started coming into my life that had said no for years to my business, that literally said they were just, they just felt like God was telling them to give me a shot in their store. Like stuff just started happening over and over and over. And I talk all about that, where I literally know beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Wow.
But God
absolutely
exists. And so
absolutely.
Man, one thing about me, I love fashion. And I always made a promise to myself, once I started my brand, I would come out with my own brand. I would rock my own clothes. I would wear my own hats. And today, I just released my new line of hats at shoprehabtime.com through Shopify. And listen, y'all, it's so easy. All because I use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Whenever, whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And just keeping it straight up, Shopify helped me take my brand from out the trunk, because I was selling my merch out the trunk, to now a worldwide brand reaching customers all across the globe. And what I love about Shopify also, there's no limit. No matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Trent. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Trent now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/Trent. Make sure Trent is lowercase. Let's get it.
And I want to ask you this because, you know, you were at Denny's and there's a lot of people out there right now, right, listen to this podcast that, you know, I think when they hear, you know, where we're at now, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I can never do that or that's impossible. And you know, they pick up on our chapter 38 or 39 and they don't realize exactly the place that we were in at our lowest and our rock bottom. But even with me, like when I lost my NFL career in 2010, when I was depressed, there was something still inside of me. And I feel like it was, you know, God's calling on my life that I ignored so long, but there was something inside of me. I think you like to say your secret sauce, but it was something inside of me that I just knew there was something more for my life. And I'm wondering, did you always have your secret sauce, right? I know businesses, during business, it might change for different things, but like that it factor, I call it your magnet, right? The thing that draws people into you. Did you always have that belief that something, there was something bigger than where your current situation was at?
Yeah, I always had it. And I also still doubted it sometimes, right? I always had this inkling, like I bet so many people listening to us or watching us right now, like we kind of know deep down inside if we have something, like we feel like we have more to give or to create or to offer the world. But then, you know, I was, most of my life, I still kind of doubted it. I remember being a little girl and I would sit in my living room and watch Oprah every single day. And I knew, and by the way, Trent, I remember this moment. I was 9 years old and she got interviewed by Barbara Walters. And Oprah said to Barbara Walters, Oprah says, I always knew I was destined for greatness. And I remember when she said that, I remember as a 9-year-old little girl going, I feel like I got it right away. I'm like, I feel that. And then I remember, I don't know if you'll remember this, but she had so much opposition come against her for saying that. Cause I think at the time people weren't used to like anyone, let alone a woman saying I always knew I was destined for greatness. Yeah. Speaking confidence. And man, the opposition that came against her, but I remember being a little girl feeling that. I remember waitressing at Denny's and here's the thing is like, I remember serving the pancakes. I remember it's so funny how I believe everything we go through is setting us up for what's to come. Even when we don't know, why am I here? And is this making sense? And am I where I was supposed to be? Like, I remember the Denny's I worked at, the pancakes would always take like close to an hour to come out. They had major operational problems going on in the kitchen. So people would leave and I get no tip.
Yeah.
I get no tip. And I was like, even in that moment, I didn't know that I was learning, oh, you better get your operations right, your back end right. If you're gonna have a business one day, if you're gonna tell customers you're getting pancakes, they better come out of the kitchen on time. Yeah. Like all those things, right? And it was like, I didn't know when I was sitting there waitressing at Denny's, having people leave and not give me a tip. I didn't realize I was learning operations. And that one day when I start my own dream in my living room, I would know, oh, if you don't get the shipping right, if you don't get the, like, it's a big deal. If you don't, like, right? Absolutely. And so I think that just when we're in those, when we're in those seasons, we don't always see why we're there or what God has in store for us. But I really think, like, our steps are ordered sometimes, even when it doesn't make sense, right? Do you feel that way about just your journey and about, you know, playing in the NFL compared to doing what you're doing now, just like how it set you up for everything?
Absolutely. You know, I have this quote that I've been saying for years and it explains it perfectly. I say, God will allow you to go through places you don't understand just to bring you to the place where he needs you to be. And you'll never be able to connect the dots moving forward. It's only when you look back. And so I realized that what I thought was my life was just a part of my life. What I thought was my story was just a chapter in it. And it's hard. It's very hard to trust God because we try to understand what he's doing. And when we try to understand, oftentimes we'll never understand. And so I just learned, even through the journeys of now, just trust him. Just trust this, because it's all building me. So absolutely. And I'm really big on, like, holistic success, right? I don't want to say the word easy because I don't want to undermine, but I always tell people, like, as far as the external success that people see, you know, whether it's making a certain amount of money, whether it's being a motivational speaker, NFL player, that's a part of success. But there's a whole other part of success that I like to call the trilogy to excellence. And that is mental success, physical success, and spiritual success. And you talk about this in your book, actually the same chapter. And I definitely wanted to ask you about this. And I'm probably paraphrasing it, but you said, actually, let me open up so I can get the exact quote of this, because I don't want to mess this up because it was so awesome. So you said, I've been a CEO of a $1 billion company and I'm a mom. Being a mom is harder. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And trust me, I feel you.
Definitely.
I don't feel you being a mother, but I feel you being a father. I've been with me being a father with three kids. And I don't want to tell, oh, you know, if you don't have kids, it isn't hard. I'm not saying that, but it's just a whole different responsibility. You know, when Tristan was born 12 years ago, he changed my life. So I'm like, I am now responsible for another human being, like directly, like his thoughts, how he operates until he can make his own decisions. So it's a lot. And then dealing with a business and trying to find balance and everything like that. Let's talk about that for a minute. So what did you, when you were writing that, what was your frame of mind and what do you mean by that?
Yeah. I think it's so much harder and I had no idea. And by the way, in the years of building my company, I thought I got it right. Cause we built to over 1,000 employees in the business I started in my living room, right? For the first 3 years, I heard no from everyone, couldn't afford to hire anybody, had to figure out how to do all the jobs myself. I didn't know what I was doing. But by the time we started building a team, we got to over 1,000 employees and I would hear from all my, you know, team members who were going on maternity leave or having challenges at home with their kids. Like, I would hear all about parenting. So I thought I got it. And then I had no idea.
You don't know until you know what parenting. I mean, everybody's experience is different.
Yeah. Well, and I think the big thing is realizing, oh, if I don't fix my own stuff, like internally, I'm about to have another generation that carries that same stuff. That was really big for me. Right. And something that I live in, I don't want to say the word fear. I hate saying I live in fear, but I am very mindful every single day of, oh, wow, I just did something that I'm not happy I grew up around. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I mean, so many things. I grew up with parents that worked really, really hard. Neither of my parents ever went to school. Like, they worked really, 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 really hard, but they weren't ever there when I had a gymnastics practice, or they weren't, like, they worked so much. Work was their number one priority. And like, all the other parents be watching, my parents weren't ever there. They were always working. And so I kind of like learned this. I didn't know this till later in life, but I started like trying to achieve something because when I would achieve something big, they would show up. And I kind of started to learn to equate that with love. And anyways, all of a sudden I find myself now launching my dream, creating this business, working 100-hour weeks for years, not protecting my peace, by the way, Trent Shelton, not protecting my peace, all these things I've done wrong, which I talk about them really openly now and on things I wish I had done differently. But even now, every single day, I realize there's things that I need to work on in myself and heal from and change so that I don't repeat them in my kids. Even now, after selling my company for $1 billion, which how crazy is that? I still sometimes would rather work than like be present. Yeah. Right. And work addiction or busyness is an addiction like anything else. It numbs us. It separates us from ourselves. It's just all the stuff that I realize, oh, wow. Being a good human being, loving everyone else, having a servant's heart, all that is how to live life. But then when parenting comes into the mix, you realize, oh, you've got to figure out your own stuff.
Absolutely.
So that you don't pass it down to them. Have you had that experience too at all?
1,000%. And what's interesting is that mine is almost the opposite. So my parents have been there. Like my dad and my mom, like every game, I don't care where I played at, they were there supporting. I mean, even to this day, like my mom is obviously sick right now, but even to this day, she would call and like, oh, are you okay? I need to do this. And like even my father. So it put a positive pressure on me and I always think about, dang, like I need to make sure I add up to how my parents were to me. You know, I want to make sure that I'm there at every game. I want to make sure I'm there at every practice. And so I have conflictions at times, you know, when I'm traveling, I'm like, dang, I want to be there. And I even remember my dad, he works at UPS to this day. But I remember when he had special assignment and before we moved to Texas, we live in Louisiana. So he had to come here to work and I would cry. I still remember to this day, I would cry watching the airplane leave. And that always sits with me. And my dad's been super present, still present. But even those small moments, I'm like, dang, I wish my dad was at this game because I'm so used to him being there. So it put a positive pressure because I said, I like it because it keeps me accountable. But I'm always thinking about every single day is a seed that I'm planting, right, in my kids, right? How I operate, how I respond, how I deal with stress, you know, how I show up for my life, how I show up for my dreams. I want to be the person in my family. If we look at generations as like a relay race, right? You know, sometimes, you know, our parents gave us the baton behind, you know, because they didn't do their part. Sometimes our parents give us the baton ahead, but I'm always thinking, I want to do my part to further the generation. I want to do my part to give my kids the tools to build their future. Because let's be real, for a lot of adults, they spend their whole entire life trying to recover from their childhood because their parents gave them broken tools to try to build their future. So it's a lot of positive pressure. I mean, it's one of my greatest honors. And that's why when I read that about it, I'm like, I understand what you're saying. And there's people out there that are listening like, man, I'm trying to build a business, but I'm a parent. I'm a single mom, or, you know, I'm a stay at home mom. And I see it all the time, or I'm a stay at home father. How do I do it? And so I just want to ask you this question. I don't know if you believe in the word balance. I have my own theory around it, but how do you find the balance or the best balance you can to juggle those two, from being a mom, you know, a wife, entrepreneur, serving all these titles that you have? How do you find balance to be able to protect your peace and your sanity?
Yeah. I mean, for a long time, you know, I always would hear balance, balance. And I realized, you know, I talked in the book a little bit about this, but I think balance in terms of everything being equal is this big lie that a lot of us put on ourselves, and then we feel like we're failing at all the areas. And I think that, you know, like I would go through seasons, and this was as a new mom, where I would finally get away to shower and like take a bath, drink, and then I would feel guilty while I was like, oh, I'm not. Or I, you know, writing the book, even writing the book, I'm like, oh, because this was 2 years of work, right? And I would think, oh, but I should be with my kids. Or, you know, then I would be with my kids and I'm like, oh, checking my phone for all the stuff going on. And I realized like I was feeling like I was failing at everything all the time. And I had to really shift my mind and shift my perspective around being like intentional and being present in whatever it was I was doing and kind of being all in, right? So when I'm with my daughter, I really want to look at my phone sometimes. And I really want to see what's going on with the publisher, this, whatever, right? But it's like, I know if I do that, I'm going to miss out on life, first of all. I'm going to miss out on feeling alive, connecting with her. I'll regret it. one day, but I'll also feel like I'm failing in that moment. And so, you know, one thing I've been trying to get good about is going, oh, how do I want to spend my time, right? And being intentional about it, like, oh, I want to spend 30 minutes, you know, doing self-care or meditation or whatever it might be. So I'm going to commit to that 30 minutes of not thinking about all the other stuff I should be doing right now, or all the other people that need me, or the ways I'm not showing up for this or that or the other. And just really, you know, I'm getting better at what you, because here's the thing. In this book, I talk about a lot of the stuff I did right and a lot of the stuff I did wrong. And one of the millions of things I have so much admiration for you, Trent, about is how dedicated you are to protecting your peace and to taking care of, you know, the idea that when we're strong and when we're full, we can give strength to everyone else. Right. And, you know, I lived for 10 years in a state of burnout, like, because the first 3 years of building my business, everyone said no. Everyone said it, they didn't believe in what we were doing. It was so much rejection for 3 years that by the time some of those people that said no said yes, I almost couldn't believe it was happening. Like, and I felt like, oh, I've got to strike while the iron's hot, because all of a sudden Sephora said yes, or all of a sudden these big department stores said yes, or QVC. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It was this journey of almost imposter syndrome where I was like, I don't even believe this is happening or that I'm worthy of it. Or so then I was like, I've got to strike while the iron's hot. And I lived like that and did 100-hour weeks for almost a decade. And I put so much pressure on myself to get to the point where I was like, oh, wait, no, I am worthy of things going well. Yeah. I am worthy of, like, you know what I mean? Like, absolutely. And I pray to this day that it didn't destroy my health. I pray, like, the price that I paid for not protecting my peace. I mean, I built a company really well and I did some other things really well, but I was not a great owner of a body. I wasn't a great, you know, steward of awesome friendships and family relationships. And I look back now and I want to do those things differently, right? Which is, I think being a lifelong student and a constant work in progress is, and being really real about it, I think is really important. But the idea of protecting your peace is so powerful and so foundational, and something that I think is so brilliant that you're putting that out in the world and you're showing it. Like, whether it's you with no shirt on lifting rocks out in the middle of nature, or, you know, whatever it looks like that day, it's so good because people can implement that in their life right now. And it's so important. It's one of the things I did wrong big time that I'm working on doing right going forward.
Hey, you, here's something that you might not know about me. I am an Airbnb host. I first started hosting on Airbnb about 2 years ago. I have a cabin called Protect Your Peace Cabin in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, and it's magical. Just imagine waking up to the fresh scent of pine in the air from the trees, right in the middle of the woods. You have a jacuzzi. We have a fire pit that makes great conversations at night, a grill. And guess what? Even in the morning, you can catch a few deer in the backyard. I spend so much time making this cabin the perfect escape for me and my family to unwind and fully relax. But truth is, I only use it a few times a year. But now, with Airbnb, I'm making good use of my space all year round and earning extra cash at the same time. Let me tell you my top three reasons on why I love hosting on Airbnb. Number one, it brings extra income. I love sharing my home with friends and guests, and now I can get paid to do so. Number two, beautiful memories. When people reach out and tell me how much they enjoyed their stay and had a great trip, I love being a part of it. It's the best feeling to me. And number three, it's easy. Even with my busy schedule as an entrepreneur and speaker, I can still make time to be an Airbnb host. I can't think of a better business idea that just takes a few hours a week to manage. And now with my book tour coming up, I'm thinking of putting my regular home on Airbnb too, so I can host guests while I'm on the road for a month or so. A lot of people don't even realize they may have an Airbnb of their own right under their noses. They may even overcomplicate it. You can Airbnb your place or your spare room, even if you're out of town for a few days or for a few weeks. So whether you have an investment property or extra bedrooms in your home, hosting on Airbnb is a great way to earn extra income. Next time you're planning a trip or want to share those extra spaces, consider hosting on Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much
at airbnb.com/hosts. That's airbnb.com/hosts to find out how much your home is worth.
I always say nature heals, and it's just something about nature. I was actually listening to a book today. I don't remember the name. It's on Blinkist, and I was just letting it play. But it's talking about how, you know, just as humans, we're just connected to nature, and that's why it makes us feel alive. And even with God, you would see God and Christ go to the mountains to pray, to get away. And I always think about that, because anytime I'm on a mountain, or just, we don't have really mountains in Texas, but any big hill out here, I just feel connected, because it's like, just for that moment, nothing outside the trails exists. And I'm able to just listen to the dialogue that I'm telling myself, right? I'm able to really listen to my soul, and what is my soul telling me? And one of the things that I did, like with protecting my peace, the reason I came up with it, because I wasn't, like, I was saying yes to everything. I was moving everything. I was burning out. And 2016 or 15, I just got finished doing, so I did my own tour. I did it for like 3 years, where we go city to city and like backpack it pretty much. And I remember that, the San Francisco, and I remember being right over there by where you can see the Bay Bridge. And I remember breaking down, like literally crying, breaking down. And I don't know if you ever felt like this, but it even breaks my heart to say this. I felt cursed for God's gift that God gave me. So with rehab time, being a speaker, it was a point when I would speak on stage, but I was going through so much. I would speak life, but then I was dying inside, and I would go backstage and cry. And I realized it's because I wasn't protecting my peace. And so at that moment, I made a decision to say, you know what? I'm gonna protect my peace. I got off of social media for a month, which at that time was like, people thought I was dead. I got off of social media for a month, and I made a decision at that moment to say, you know what? I'm gonna prioritize peace. That's gonna be the top priority in my life. And I probably lose out on some things, you know, but I just say, you know, maybe certain things aren't worth it if it's costing me stress, if it's costing me, you know, headaches, if it's costing me not to be the best father, husband I could be for my kids. And so peace makes the decision for me. If I feel like it's going to take away from it, I'm like, no, no matter how good the opportunity may be. So I'm glad that you shared that, because people need to hear it. You sold your company for $1 billion. And I asked you this in Puerto Rico. I don't know if you remember. It was like after we ate, and I pulled you to the side, and I said, like, what changed in your life when that happened? Was it, you know, because it's people listening to this right now thinking, okay, when I get mindset, when I get the money, when I get the relationship, when I get the title, then everything will be okay. And so obviously with that type of money and that being that successful, what changed? Was it everything that you hoped it would be? Did it change you? Did it change people around you? Like, what would you share to that, to the people that's out there waiting, like, when I get this, I'll be XYZ?
I mean, for one, I can buy more Trent Shelton books. So that's the first thing. No, this is a big thing. And this is a lesson that I've heard people say this, and then I had the blessing of living it, that getting the thing, whatever the thing is, right? Whether it's the car, or the yes from someone who keeps saying no to you, or the selling your company, or whatever. Someone said it so beautifully. They said, wherever you end up going, whatever you get, whenever you get there, you still take you with you. Wow. Right? And so if you don't figure out you, you're going to get at that thing, but you still take you with you. And so you think, oh, this is going to solve all my problems. And listen, stuff gets easier and stuff gets harder with everything we get, right? Stuff gets easier, because you have become one of the most well-known speakers in the world. You inspire millions of people, but even you're saying, with that now comes more responsibility, more all the things, right? With anything we finally get, some stuff is amazing, and then other stuff gets harder. But the big thing is, you take you with you. And so from that perspective, nothing changes, right? And that's why I think it's The victory is never the outcome. The victory is never, I sold my business for all this money, or this or that. That's not the victory. Like, the victory is getting you right, right? And living authentically, learning to hear your own inner knowing, making the decision to trust it. Because so many people don't hear their own gut. They don't trust it. They don't hear God. They don't hear who they are. and they end up talking themselves out of their own truth because they listen to everyone else and all the stuff going on around them. I think the true victory is learning to hear yourself, learning to trust yourself, right? And then stepping into all of who you are. Because then you take you with you wherever you go. And when you're all of who you are, whether you get this or you don't get this, you're still all of who you are and the person you're born to be. That's the victory. That's the victory. And I know I'm nowhere near that victory yet. I'm nowhere near that victory yet. I need to learn more to protect my peace. I need to learn more. Like I believe we're all on this earth not to compete with anyone else. I believe we're on this earth to compete with the person God made us capable of becoming. I know I'm still becoming that person. You know what I'm saying? So for me, yeah, you take you with you.
That is powerful. And Jamie, I appreciate you so much, man. Like, I want to make sure we highlight your book because people need this book. Where can people get it? I know they can get it everywhere, but or why does somebody need Believe It? Or who's it for?
Yeah, I mean, at the heart and soul of it, it's really like anybody who really has that feeling deep down inside, like that they're made for more, but still doubts it. It's really a book about how I overcame self-doubt. And I hope it's a blessing for everyone else on their own journey of learning how to do that, learning how to go from not believing themselves to believing in themselves. And yeah, and you know, you can grab it anywhere books are sold. And I know a lot of times authors will do like study guides with it. They sell the study guides. And I wrote one for free just because I want to make sure everyone who does grab the book can implement all the lessons from it into their real life. So there's a 95-page action plan that I wrote that's free on believeit.com. So if anyone wants to grab that too. But yeah, I am. And 100, by the way, 100% of the proceeds, I'm donating 100% of the proceeds from the book to Feeding America.
Wow.
And Together Rising. So I'm really just doing it, Trent, because I think like literally, you know this, we're all in this together. We are all in this together. And I feel like when we have these real conversations too, it's how we all sort of level up and step into all of who we are. As I said earlier, right? It's one step at a time. So I'm grateful for you. I appreciate you. Well,
thank you so much.
All that you do publicly and behind the scenes. You live your truth, and I'm so blessed to know you.
Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate you. I appreciate you for being who you are, being a rare breed, and for being straight up. Like, that's what I love about this podcast. It's a safe place where people can just be straight up, and you were straight up today, and you impacted so many lives. I know it. So make sure y'all go get the book, get 3, get 4, get 5 of them. Do you have an audio book with it?
Yes.
Get the audio book also, all of that. Share it. And make sure you follow Jamie. Jamie, drop your social handles right quick for us.
Yeah, so I'm mostly on Instagram, Facebook too, but mostly on Instagram at Jamie Karenlima. So JamieKerenlima.
Thank you, Jamie. Keep making the world respect your greatness. This has been another episode of the Straight Up Podcast. But like we always tell you, it all starts with you. Let's get it straight up. Straight Up is hosted and recorded by me, Trent Shelton. The episodes are produced by Chelsea Harfouche and mixed and edited by Andrew Weller. Cameron Berkman is our executive producer. Straight Up with Trent Shelton is a production of The Hollis Company.
Man, one thing about me, I love fashion. And I always made a promise to myself, once I started my brand, I would come out with my own brand. I would rock my own clothes. I would wear my own hats. And today, I just released my new line of hats at shoprehabtime.com through Shopify. And listen, y'all, it's so easy. All because I use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, whenever, whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And just keeping it straight up, Shopify helped me take my brand from out the trunk, because I was selling my merch out the trunk, to now a worldwide brand reaching customers all across the globe. And what I love about Shopify also, there's no limit. No matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Trent, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Trent now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/Trent. Make sure Trent is lowercase. Let's get it.
Hey, you, I got a question for you. Are you trying to build your community online this year? If not, you should. Without the rehabbers across the world, there would be no Trent Show in the rehab time. Everyone in business is talking about the power of community, because when you get community right, not only does your audience grow faster, but so does your sales. But where is everyone managing their communities these days? A lot of online entrepreneurs and thought leaders are turning to Circle.so. Circle is an all-in-one community platform. It lets you host content, create discussions, live streams, group chats, memberships, all under your own brand. And what's cool about Circle.so is that you don't even need a website or a Facebook group. Instead, Circle lets you build your own community site where you can host content and manage your members. You can even create locked or unlocked content spaces, groups, and classes. You can put your content behind a paywall too, and you can charge different amounts of money for different spaces on your community site. Circle.so is famously easy to use, and it has its 14-day trial free just for you. Go to circle.so. Imagine being able to manage your community, start chat groups and live classes, accept payments, all in one place. If this is the year to capture, organize, and monetize your community, head over to circle.so. You can get a free trial and start building your online community right now. Just go to circle.so. Let's get it.